Hello, everybody, and welcome to our CMDS call. It's a case study, Q&A, mentorship call, whatever you need for support in working through the materials in the program and also in working with your clients to help support them through healing their digestion so they could heal the rest of their body as well. So many of you have been through, you know, or coming to the end of the program. Some of you maybe just beginning or getting into it. It's a lot of material in that, and I encourage you to do it at your own pace. You are welcome on this call to ask questions related to anything at all related to the materials, whether it has to do with assessments, whether it has to do with specific parts of the digestive tract, whether it has to do particular clients or patients, you're welcome to do that. Now, there were three cases that got submitted that I will plan to go over tonight. I'm hoping to get them to do that when the person who submitted them is on. So Janine did one, Winona did another, and the third one was, whose was the third one? I just drew a blank. Lindsay. Lindsay did the third one. Yeah, so if you guys are on the phone, I may not recognize your phone numbers. Just put your *2 on your telephone keypad, and that'll let me know that you're there. Or type it into the chat. Lindsay, yeah, good. Lindsay's there. And she was the first case to come in, so therefore we're going to do hers first. So let me go ahead and open up your line. Let's see. Let me just make sure. Well, I'll do it when I open up your line. That'll let me know which of my, hang on one second, because I opened up the Zoom chat just in case we needed to use it for showing screen, and I think it's set up so that it's not set up so everybody gets muted on entry. So I want to make sure that that happens, because otherwise we'll make noise. And if you're on the Zoom, go ahead and let me know that you're there. I'm not planning on using that as the main device for the call. It's really there in case we have to do some screen shares. Let's see. It looks like Susan's there. Oh, Susan's the only one there. All right, so nobody else that submitted a case is actually there. I'm going to make sure that I do mute all. And yes, everybody's muted. Current and new ones. Great. Okay. So, Lindsay, I'm going to open up your hand. Lindsay from Montreal. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Rita Marie. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Lindsay?
Oh, shoot.
I can't hear you, Lindsay.
Oh, darn it. Oh, shoot.
You had your hand up.
Let's see. Oh, no.
I'm going to type it into the chat. I'm assuming you can hear me. *2 if you can hear me. But I'm not hearing anything from Lindsay. And let me know if you're hearing Lindsay.
I hear Lindsay.
Okay, are we having some difficulty?
Can you? Dr. Can you...
Something seems to be clipping, like cutting in and out.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Lynn. Yeah, I can hear you. Oh. And now it's cut out again. Maybe I'm going to call
I
in
think,
on a different line. I'm going to call
no,
in
I think
on a
you
different
should stay there. No, I think
oh.
you should stay there. I think it's on.
You can hear me. Type into the chat, and then when I finally get it there, turn it off, and then I'll turn it back on, and maybe that'll trigger it. And
oh, so weird. Shut down. What to do?
Yeah, let's just hold on. I think it's something.
Okay.
Like...
okay.
The moderator has left the conference.
Okay. Dr. Rita Marie is switching her computers. So I'm glad you're still hanging on there, Lindsay. I had to log out. I was logged in as a regular person. So now I'm logged in as a host like Dr. Rita Marie. So as soon as she gets in, so while we're waiting for her, do you have any particular questions or that I can help you with?
Since we're just waiting, I'm just going to take this opportunity to quickly grab a sweater.
Okay.
I just got really chilled. So I'm just going to do that really quickly, and I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay, I'll be right
back. So, you bet. So while we're waiting for Dr. Rita Marie, if there's anybody here who has questions, either type them into the chat or you can, let's see, there's nothing in the Q&A, raise your hand and I can open your line. We're just going to wait on her here and she'll be here momentarily.
Okay, I am back. No, that worked out really well because I just had a shower and
that will happen.
Yeah, and then my hair was wet, so I thought, it is a little chilly.
Well, and then you live in Quebec, and that'll happen. I have my heater right by my feet, so I completely understand.
It's getting to be that time of year again.
Yep, it is the season.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice when it does set in, but you're kind of reminded of, you can't run around with wet hair anymore.
and this is kind of a good thing with our topic with digestive health. If you keep your digestive system in good repair, it will help keep your immune system up. So that it will help even if you have wet hair. So that's an important thing to remember with your immune system.
I'm so excited to be going over stuff tonight because I think that just in doing this program and this course, I mean I feel like I've connected a lot of dots myself, but then there's still a lot of unanswered questions that I have, and I think so much of it is rooted in digestion, and I think it has caused some major, some major, I don't want to say problems, but issues that I've been experiencing, mm-hmm. and now I think they're just kind of playing off one another. So I'm really interested in bouncing it off of the group, just for some new perspective around it.
Right. And that's great because this will help everybody else understand that, having this knowledge of the digestive system will carry people that much farther so that they can, be empowered to take care of themselves, when they do, if they do get their immune system run down just a little bit, they know the pieces that they can do. And I see Dr. Rita Marie on twice, actually.
I guess I'm still on there from four. My echo?
You're on twice.
Wow. Let me get one of them. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay,
I can hear you.
One of them off. All right. Well, sorry about that. My computer decided to just turn off and reboot itself and because of a problem. So apologize for that.
No worries.
Now I need to, I'm sure it won't come back. It just came back, but I'm sure. I had opened up all the files, the Lindsay's and everybody's case, and they're all open on my other computer. I'm looking to see if I restarted if they come back. But in the meantime, let me see if I can find them and open them on here. Also had Zoom open in case we wanted to share screen, but I think we can do this without sharing screen. Let's see if I can find them. Sorry about this. It took me like 10 or 15 minutes to open them all up and read through them and make sure they were organized, and then they went away. Okay. CMDS cases 1129. Okay. And, oh, I see Farah has one in there too. I didn't see that one in there before. Is that just going there now? Huh, that's weird. Lindsay was the first one. Did you get one from Farah?
She had just done one this afternoon, so I put it in there. I already sent her a note saying we may not have a chance to do it, but it's there in case you.
Yeah, I didn't see it. It must have been just really recently because I didn't see it earlier.
Yeah, it was like it was very recently.
Okay. All right, so Lindsay, are you there? Can you guys hear me okay? Because I'm.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yep.
We can. Awesome.
So I know Susan was on she was the only one on Zoom, but I mean we don't do a broadcast these. I only said in the email that if we need a screen share, we use it. So we'll try to do it without
I think she's come over to Susan Larson.
Okay. Great. So Lindsay, hi.
Hi.
So tell us a little bit about your person. Sounds an interesting case. I'll give them the basic background, and you can tell us a little bit more. This is a 5'6", 130-pound female. She's a health coach in a committed relationship, and the top three health concerns are listed as digestive problems, trapped gas, diarrhea, bloating, and nausea. Second one is suppressed immune system. And what I want to ask you, Lindsay, is that was that her words or your words? Suppressed immune system.
Oh, sorry. This is me. I'm presenting myself as a case.
Oh, okay. So you're presenting yourself. So it was your words. So here's the thing: when we're presenting cases and when you're asking people stuff, a lot of times they like to self-diagnose. So there you are.
Okay.
System, right? What we really want to know, how does that present itself? What makes you think you have a suppressed immune system? So why don't you go ahead and answer that?
Sure. I typically always get sick right before my period. I find I'm, despite everything I try and do to support a healthy lifestyle, I'm always kind of like on the edge, kind of teetering a little bit or, you know, fighting off something. If I'm around somebody who's sick, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to pick up that bug. I just don't find my constitution. I just feel like I'm susceptible to a lot that's going around.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. That makes sense. So then chronic symptoms, periodontitis, nasal drip, and congestion. There are a couple of things that I'll go through, and then I'm going to turn it over to you to explain to us. Because especially since it's you, you'll have a much better way of explaining it. You had some surgeries, broken arm, and then rebroke it when you were 8 or 9, braces, surgery on receding gums as a teenager. So right away, that's an indication that there was some nutritional imbalance right then and there, right, as a teenager, that was manifesting in periodontitis and receding gums, which very often has to do with immune system, back to immune system, vitamin C, bioflavonoids like rutin and the structural bioflavonoids, collagen, et cetera. So you were having some issues pretty early on. Food poisoning.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, yeah, I think something that really contributed to that was my mom had an emergency C-section with me. So the umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck when she gave birth and they had to do an emergency C-section. And I think, you know, despite the fact that she cooked a lot of food for us, she didn't know anything about ferments or anything like that at the time. So, yeah, that was sort of, I started things off on the wrong foot, so to speak.
Started off on the wrong foot, right. Did you have any antibiotics that you know of when you were a kid?
Not so much when I was a kid. After my parents separated, they got divorced, and I started getting all these crazy weird eye infections, and my mom took me to ophthalmologists, and they said nothing was wrong with me, and it literally felt like there were grains of sand in my eyes, and it would always flare up. It flared up around that time that they separated, and then any time that I would be faced with any kind of stress. And that was kind of, that's when that and skin problems and stuff like that, that's when I would say I really started noticing it, was in my adolescence or teens.
Right. So based on what you know right now about the digestive system, would you concur that you probably had some digestive imbalances real early on that led to some of these skin things and chronic infections and things?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a classic thing to be looking for when somebody presents and they have surgeries and antibiotics and, you know, various and sundry things, receding gums, skin stuff, that we want to look at their digestion very closely because they're very often related. Also, infertility treatments. I'm sorry about that. That's definitely got to be frustrating. And so were you doing various drug interventions? I'm just asking because it may be related to where how you're feeling now.
No, I really didn't want to. I have – my anatomy is – and I'm sure my digestion has contributed to this for sure. And but my anatomy is such that I have what's called a uterus didelphys. So it's – everything is doubled. So that made – conception really, really difficult. And then I think the digestion issues on top of it just made things also, and maybe the hormone imbalance stuff really made things even more difficult. And, so no real intervention, with drugs per se, because I just didn't really feel comfortable about going that route.
Yeah. For sure. So it looks like you're already doing an elimination diet. Found yourself sensitive to gluten, dairy, soy, and corn, and you removed those. Are you 100% off of those, or is it most of the time off of those?
All of them except for the odd bit of dairy in the form of, like, a hard cheese. But that's even that I've really kind of – that's maybe once a month, maybe once and a half. It's pretty rare. I'm really trying to get it out completely.
So I'm going to ask you a question because this is the question I would ask any patient. When you say you're trying to get it out and you're already down to 1.5 months, what are the mitigating circumstances that trigger you to eat it? Is it it sneaks in, if it's in something and then you realize later, or is it some sort of craving?
Usually when it's in a pinch, when I'm in a pinch and I haven't prioritized my meals and I'll sub it for like a protein, or I'll have a little bit in my salad when I'm not at home cooking or something like that. So, it's not an excess, but that's typically when I would, cause at home I've managed to make like, you know, vegan parmesans and different things that I really enjoy with the nutritional yeast and things like that. So I have my fixes for things at home. It's just like when I'm in a pinch sometimes out, which I don't eat out that often. So,
Yes. How do you feel badly when you eat the dairy? Do you notice the breakouts? Do you notice more inflammation, more digestive issues?
Not all the time, but sometimes like gas or digestive issues,
All right, so I'm going to go back and just really clarify on symptoms, the digestive symptoms, because I think that's an important piece. You know what, Lynn, just let's check to make sure that the recording is still going, because I hadn't stopped the recording. I just want to make sure that we get this. Let me go to recording. I didn't stop it in my computer. I think it still goes.
I see the recorder is still on, and it says 38 minutes. So
yeah, it's just okay. So it'll have a big blank in it, but it is still working. Good. Okay.
Good.
Thank you. I like you guys to get in the habit of really digging when people mention symptoms. Like, don't take them at surface value, which I just kind of didn't exemplify this real well, but I think digestive symptoms. What, like I asked you about the suppressed immune system. I didn't go back and say, what does that mean? What do you mean by trapped gas, diarrhea, bloating, and nausea? How often does it happen? Is there any particular time of month? You just really want to get at timing is so critical with digestive issues. So tell me more about that.
Well, I guess I would say that any time I have, I always seem to manifest like stress, or if I'm really tired, or not that I have a lot of stress, but that's the kind of thing that would cause nausea. Or maybe it would just be mystery nausea. How often? It depends. It really comes and goes.
Is it daily? Is it a few times a week?
No. It's not daily. It's, I might get about like three times every month or something of nausea.
Okay.
And sometimes. Oh, and sometimes it's got to do with fatigue, or sometimes it's just my stomach's off. I haven't really been digesting greens that well lately, though I've turned a little bit of a corner with them. But, yeah, I'm trying to keep track. I do keep track daily of, just kind of what's going on down there with my digestion and my bowel movements and everything, just so I have something to look back on to give me more insight. But,
Okay. So
I don't always know.
Is it around your period before or after your period?
It usually doesn't have anything to do with my period. So I would say it's not linked to my period. So it could be before, in the lead up, in the first, let's say like the first week of my cycle, or it's usually not associated with my period, though I do have, or I did have, used to have really, really bad periods.
Mm-hmm. And those are better. What turns the corner on those?
Well, I recently I started doing red raspberry leaf tea and evening primrose oil, and just taking time to rest, and that has helped a lot. But my whole life I've had like debilitating periods, and as such have taken a lot of anti-inflammatories, which I know just pummels my gut, and so I felt like it's this vicious cycle,
Exactly. When you say trapped gas, meaning that it starts to expand and you feel like there's gas but you can't pass it?
Exactly.
Okay. And then diarrhea, bloating, and nausea. Do you typically have loose stools? Do you have regular stools? Do you have more tight?
Well, I find probably I have more diarrhea than anything. But if I really focus on, if I have days where I have ferment and I am just being really careful about things, it's I can have a good bowel movement, but definitely when I'm when I'm not doing great, I'll definitely have more diarrhea. So again, let's say like a week and a half to two out of a month, it wouldn't be abnormal for me to have diarrhea or loose stools either. Maybe not diarrhea, but loose. Yeah.
So the gas is really just a few days out of a month, whereas the diarrhea, bloating, are they all coming together, the diarrhea, bloating, nausea?
The nausea, no. That's kind of unto itself. One thing that I realized from the course was I started really doing the bitters and stuff, and I started with apple cider vinegar, and then I started doing the bitters, and I found that really helped, because it was definitely a situation where I would get bloated and have trapped gas like very shortly after eating. So introducing the bitters, and I actually really enjoyed the taste. I didn't mind it at all, so I figured it was probably something that my body definitely needed.
I hear you. So I just want to point out, because this is all a teaching experience. I also want to help you. And you know, what are your next steps here? But the good thing is that when we're asking questions, right, when somebody lists a bunch of digestive symptoms, right, and you just ask, I at first just asked, how often do you have it? And she said, about 3 days a month. But then when I got deeper and I asked, were they all coming together, all those symptoms, or are they coming at different times? Then we got a different answer and found that about 2 weeks out of the month, her stools were loose. And the nausea was a little bit more random, and it was, you know, gotten better with adding the bitters. And so there's a whole lot of great information here if you just take the time to ask. And that's why questionnaires are awesome, because it gives you that starting point, but don't allow questionnaires to be the ending point. Does that make sense? Like, always dig. So now when I get down to it, if you're having diarrhea maybe, you know, 2 weeks or loose stools 2 weeks out of the month, and you're having the gas and bloating another 3 days out of the month, and then you're having nausea sometimes, then it becomes more of a, well, this is just an erratic, you know, very intermittent problem, to, well, there's something going on there that needs to be addressed. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? And that, and this is great because you wrote that down the same way people would have written it down, right? As opposed to analyzing it and writing it from the perspective of, I'm taking this class and I'm going to do this in the right way. You know what I mean? So this is good.
Yeah.
Because it's really tempting to just assume certain things without really knowing. Do you know what I mean? And so I just was at first assuming that this was a group of symptoms that were happening, you know, all at the same time, and that it was only happening 3 times a month, right? So there's okay. Most likely low stomach acid because you had improvement with the bits, right? And there's most likely some sort of dysbiosis because of the loose stools and the gas and all. So those are the kinds of things we're going down. Let's figure out what's going on and how do we fix it. So the typical thing I like to do is start at the top, right, and work my way down the same way that we teach in the program. So the first, you know, question related to the digestion I want to ask is, how do you eat your meals? Do you eat your meals on the run? Are you sitting down and making a ritual of it, chewing well? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, food is a pretty sacred thing in my house, and so making time for it and really, I'm not an eater on the run. I don't eat in front of the TV. I don't even like having upsetting conversation or at the table. You know, I really like to take some deep breaths, take my time, and the chewing, that was definitely something that I wasn't doing enough of, and that was a huge eye-opener in the course. And I definitely noticed I used to have, like, a lot of undigested food in my stool, and that has changed completely because now I already had the relaxed part down, and now I'm focusing on chewing more.
Beautiful. So now as we go down, we're kind of ruling out different pieces. I'm suspicious about the stomach because you said the bitters improved it. The bitters improved that. You mentioned that you eat a lot of nuts. Is that you or is that a different one? Now I'm forgetting. Did you mention that
you eat a lot of nuts?
Yeah. So you eat a lot of nuts. You've noticed that sometimes cashews and avocado don't seem like they're digesting real well.
Yeah, I was having a really hard time, so I started doing a bit of liver support with some more supportive herbs. And I also went to go see my osteo, and he apparently, one of my ribs was completely, he did an adjustment, and it was that in conjunction with really taking some time to nurture my liver made a huge difference. I was able to introduce avocado again into my diet, and
Right. Fantastic. So it sounds like you're on the right track with a lot of this. Before I go too much further, what specific question direction, what would you like to accomplish with our conversation tonight?
I guess my biggest thing. I mean, since having been in the course and having struggled with these symptoms for quite some time, I was telling Lynn before you came on the call that I was really able to connect a lot of dots. But one of the things that – so I have pretty severe periodontitis, and I have lost one tooth, and I – my dentist told me I need to have surgery to have three other teeth removed, and two of them are in the front of my mouth. And I luckily went to, after getting like a crazy quote, I called my mom who worked at a dental school in back in my home province, and I went to visit. She got me in to see the doctors at the school. And they really said, well, look, there's a very small chance that we can save your teeth. There's a 20% chance. And I was so thrilled to have a different opinion. And so I guess this is what I'm thinking. Because my periodontitis, like I think probably my gut initially, this is my thought, caused my periodontitis. And because when you have it so severe, it can actually the toxins from your mouth can leach into the bloodstream and attack the immune system. So I almost feel like, and I agree with what you said, I think there's a lot of dysbiosis there. And I kind of feel like it's this, I don't know, it's coming at from the top with my teeth and the bottom with my gut. And I'm just wondering, obviously I'm trying to take steps to really heal and seal my gut, and I've removed the irritants, and I'm doing marshmallow root every day, and just trying all these different things and incorporating good sort of healing things into my diet. With my mouth, I'm doing high dose vitamin C. I have the liposomal, and I guess I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that, between the gut and the mouth connection, and maybe how to really, like, I know there's no secret way. I know it's, you know, it's got to be about what's going to work with my body, but I don't know, based on your experience, can you shed a little light on that for me?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I think that there's a lot more that can be done to reverse periodontal disease than people make out to be. And there's a number of people I know who have done it. One is, she's up in Canada. Her name is, I always forget her name. You've probably heard of her. Lynn knows her name. Why am I just, you know. Her?
Is it Nadine?
Nadine Artemis. She has this, it's a very complicated 8-step, you know, dental care thing that you do every time, you do it twice a day. And it takes a while, but the investment is well worth it. I mean, I did it one point when I have a lot of old root canals and various things in my mouth, and I had one that was going bad and went to the dentist. It was like in so much pain, and she wanted me to get some surgery and get implant and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. So yeah. I started doing that, and I started rubbing clove oil on my gums, taking high-dose vitamin C, and doing a number of other, you know, herbs and things for that. And I've never, this was like 3 or 4 years ago, I've never gotten anything done with it. The pain went away, and here I am. And she tells stories about how she almost lost some teeth. And it's really worth going to her site and looking at that 8-step protocol. If you're in the Vital community, our Vital community, and if you're not, then it's a good thing to join because it's a great resource. One of our presentations about a year and a half ago was with her. And she gave us recipes, and she talked about her whole experience. And I think she's definitely well worth looking at. Right?
Okay.
That's one thing. So that tooth care is super important. Yes, from the inside out, right? And making sure your omegas and anti-inflammatory herbs and nutrients like the vitamin C. You might even consider if there's someone where you can get some IV vitamin. C can be very helpful for a month or whatever other dosing that they recommend. That could be super important for building the collagen. rutin and other bioflavonoids, quercetin, they're all important. You can find those in onions. You can get them as supplements. And those can all help to restore. And then looking at probiotics for the mouth. And one of our bonuses is going to be a talk with Steph. I don't know if that's been scheduled yet or not, but on the oral microbiome. But there's Lactobacillus helvetica, I think, is one of them. And there are actually some companies that make these lozenges, these probiotic lozenges that are the bacteria that are populating, are supposed to be populating the mouth. And you basically, you suck on them, you know, you suck on them to bathe your mouth in the probiotics. I think that Nadine also taught us how to make these little, you know, coconut wafers that were probiotic rich, you know, mixing the probiotics into these coconut and you freeze them and then you just let them melt in your mouth. And some of the essential oils that she sells on her site. But so those are really good things to do. Now, going back to the other part of it, the gut, I think really looking at what you might have. I mean, you're taking probiotics and all, but are you necessarily taking the right ones for you? And do you have some specific imbalances? And if this has been going on for a long time, you may consider doing a stool test and seeing what shows. Okay. Right? And okay. I know, you know, it's expensive, it's a pain in the butt, literally, to do. But it's certainly worth looking at to see, because sometimes we're just, you know, throwing darts in the dark when we just take a specific probiotic or any general probiotic as opposed to really trying to figure out what we need. So that's some of the things that I would look at. You mentioned in here, did you mention that you were taking ibuprofen or Tylenol? Is that somebody else?
I do take Advil every month okay. with my period, and I was taking for most of my life. I would take a lot, and I'm down to 4 a day, which may sound excessive, but I, you know, on a really bad day, I would take anywhere from like 12 to 16 a day.
Wow. And so you're taking yeah. 4 spread out across the day.
Yeah, now I'm just, now for 2 days. It used to be my whole cycle. And
okay. Great. Yeah. So it's like you're obviously moving in the right direction, and I congratulate you for that. Another thing you might consider is looking about magnesium being an issue right around your around the period. And I would say just take double the amount of magnesium. Do you take magnesium? I'm looking at your list. And
I don't know if I put it on there, but probably yeah, about a year ago I did start. Yeah, so I would take that in replace of some of the Advil. Yeah.
Yeah, but I would say shore up your stores of it for a week before. So because we tend to need more right before and right after your period.
Okay.
So kind of to do it preventively. You mentioned a couple of different herbs. Let's see if I can find it here. I think it was Jamaican dogwood. Is that what I saw here? It was one of the cramp bark, right?
Yeah.
And have you taken that, and does that help the periods?
Well, no, I actually ordered it from Mountain Rose Herbs, I don't know, maybe about like a month ago, but maybe since I'm in Canada, it's just taking a little longer.
Okay.
So I will, the main ones are the red raspberry leaf has been really good. Obviously fresh ginger root is really awesome. I find I respond really well to those things. I'm trying to think of what else? Oh, and the evening primrose oil, which I take on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so you said you ordered the cramp bark. Have you started to take the cramp bark, or are you just waiting for it to come?
I'm just still waiting for it to get here, yeah.
All right. Another one I'll throw out there for everybody who wants to hear about it is black haw tends to be incredible for menstrual cramps. Of course, you know, you want to find out why are you getting the menstrual cramps. Is it a magnesium deficiency? Is it B6? It could be as well. Magnesium and B6 tend to go hand in hand at that time of month. Is it a prostaglandin imbalance? Prostaglandins have precursors of the fatty acid, so could it be an omega-3 imbalance that could cause it? Because spasming as well as inflammation are caused by omega-6 to 3 overload. So those are some of the things that I would look at. What else? Some was eaten by beer, I guess. And that's for during your period when you have an upset stomach. Did you get them during your period?
Upset stomachs?
Yeah.
I can't really handle a lot of food usually for like a 48-hour period. So mm-hmm. even if I do have, like a bowl of leek and lentil soup or something like that, I'll still do some Ivergast just to kind of help it digest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And that's not every period, though, or is it?
I'm sorry?
It's not every period? Because we were talking earlier, it's like the digestive is intermittent, and it wasn't period-related, but...
Yeah. You know, it's every period. I guess I don't really... It's a different kind of... I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's like that sort of stomach upset is more related to my bowels than like just a bout of nausea would be, if that makes any sense. It's different.
Okay. But yeah. It sounds like the digestive issues are pretty pervasive.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's the best idea is a stool test to really see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. And with food, it sounds like you've got your diet cleaned up, elimination, the occasional dairy would be good to just quit it and just see if it makes a difference. You're not doing it often enough that it is high on my suspect list. And I would do, if you said you're doing a careful food diary, really going back through it to see if there's any patterns. And sometimes there isn't. Sometimes there's just no pattern, but sometimes there is, all the high fat foods or all the high carb foods or all, whenever I eat, you know, Brussels sprouts, this happens or, you know, something like that when you take a food diary for long enough.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
And then what's this mean, sneaking in non-healthy sweets?
Again, that would be like in a situation where either where I am out kind of like on the run or where I cook pretty much three meals a day, but if we are both really working a lot and tired, then we'll like order out sushi or something like that. So for instance, I know sushi isn't a good food for me because I have sensitivities to soy. So that would be like me sneaking in like a non good food, you know?
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Yeah.
Which doesn't happen often, but it does happen.
But does gluten get in there, corn? Or are you pretty strict about that?
Yeah, no, I can't eat those foods. I'll get like gluten especially, it's like instant headache. That was cut out like a few years ago.
Sugar seed yeasts and other kinds of organisms. So those are important ones to be looking at. So I would say the stool test would be a good one to look at. And your thyroid, you know, could be a possibility. You don't have the weight issues. You don't have the constipation issues. The harder to tell on that. So that's where I would look. And blood sugar imbalances are a possibility, certainly.
Okay.
You just can buy a little meter and check it out. Do you have any recent blood work?
No, and actually I was asking Lynn for good things to check for, and she sent me an article off of, I think, one of your properties, like your blog or something like that, of different things to check for, like a good overall sort of picture. So, and I'm due for blood work, so I am going to get a sense of that.
You know, it's harder for you in Canada to get it because you don't have direct labs where you can just, anybody can order it.
Yeah, but we just switched doctors, and she's a little bit younger and a little bit more open. So I'm hoping that I will be able to at least get a copy of it. Okay. Yeah.
So you had some food poisoning recently? Was this?
Was that the? I had a really bad bout when I, like, when I was hospitalized.
Oh, it looked like you're 20. Yeah, it looked like when you were in your 20.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, those are the things. So looking through, you've got the stomach acid wired. Looking at, you know, the liver, which you're already doing. I think looking at gut bugs could be an important piece that may just, you know, clear up. Because you're doing so many things right. You are, really. I mean, exercise and outdoors and, you know, the whole bit.
Okay. No, I think that will be the best. I think I really appreciate even just that idea of really getting a good look at what the bacterial ecosystem looks like in there. Yep. To help. I think that'll help me combat this. That's it. Like when you invest so much, it's frustrating a little bit when you still come mm-hmm. out not terrible, but you know, I don't want to have a runny nose.
Yeah, you're doing a lot. It's always just finding those little things that you could do differently. And I would ask you some things about, you know, mentally, like, how strongly do you believe in your body's ability to be really well?
Very, very strong. I mean, I think it's definitely impaired right now, but I'm a firm believer in when we give the body what it needs, it will heal. It will repair itself. You know, the body is a miraculous thing, and I don't need to tell you that, and I don't need to tell this right. class that. Like, it's pretty amazing.
It's pretty darn amazing. Yeah, so I would visualize, you know, just visualize before you eat each meal. Just visualize okay. it going through and doing all the right things. So those are little microvilli. They're flipping and flapping, and they're grabbing onto nutrients, and it gets into your lower bowel, and then boom, it comes out this nice long sausage. And I mean, I would just visualize it.
Okay.
Yeah, really sit with it and give your body that message of that's how I know you are and can be.
Okay. I love mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I think you can do that. And then, yeah, I think pretty much everything, take digestive and, I mean, you're doing a good job. I would only look, the only thing I would look at if you still tend to be loose, are you taking too much magnesium? And if there was any correlation with adding magnesium and having more loose stools, those are the things I would look at.
Okay.
Okay.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, let me see. Who else is here? Is Winona there? When do you see Winona? I have a tiny little screen now, so I'm not able to see like I was before with everything, and it shrunk on me. Let me make this bigger. Winona, if you're there, raise your hand, star 2.
I'm not seeing a particular name.
Yeah, Winona mentioned on the chat, because I have your thing. I just wanted to
know.
I've got a lot of questions about your this woman.
I don't know.
Yeah, so Janine is mentioning a combo probiotic will keep it up. But what you want to do with an oral probiotic is actually keep it in contact with your mouth for a while, not just like take a capsule of a probiotic that has good flora. That's why either the lozenges are just opening up a capsule and pushing it in water and just pushing it around in your mouth. And that's the reason that Nadine talked about making those little these little lozenges. And she put essential oils and coconut oil and some probiotic. And that way they're melting in your mouth and it's bathing your mouth in those good organisms. So that's certainly good to try. And Dawn says, thanks for sharing. Plantarum's a good one. Plantarum's definitely a good one for the oral microbiome. And make sure you're getting enough D and C. We think we're taking enough, but check your levels and make sure your D gets up in the 75 to 100 range. And with C, do the microsomal because the other might aggravate the loose stool. I like to do bowel tolerance, but she's already got loose stool, so that's a harder one to do. I would say, minimum 3 grams a day, but depends on her bowel tolerance. And liposomal, I always tell people to take as much liposomal as you can afford because it's quite expensive, and then they take the rest in a less expensive form. Let's see. Okay, so if Winona's not here, we'll move to Janine. Are you on the phone, Janine, or are you on just... There she is. I'm going to open your line, Janine. Hi, Janine.
Hi.
Hi, I just have to open up your... I had all your files open, and now I have to find them again. Okay, Janine, and you had the U-biome.
Yes, that's what I came to share. That would be interesting.
I'm assuming this is you. I mean, unless you don't want to say, that's fine.
No, it's me.
Okay. But I recognize some of the stuff. All right, so it's me. We opened in the Bible. Okay, so I've got both of those open. And so we're doing two people, who are on the call. It makes it much easier to do the cases if the person's actually on the call, so I don't have to give you a list of questions to go back and ask. Female, 5'2", 139, age 52, student caregiver, mentor in mental health, married, 3 children. Are your children grown, or do you have any of them living with you?
They're grown, but one's living here.
One's living with you.
Yeah,
grown and living with you. There you go. All right. So top three would be gut and digestion, polycythemia, and cirrhosis, and that's mild. Okay. So if I ask you, Janine, on a day-to-day basis, what are the complaints, symptoms, situations with your health that are most challenging for you and that you most want to change?
Right now, it's just been my gut function. It's actually for quite a while, the alternating consistency between, I don't really get diarrhea, but it's not consistent. How do I explain it? They're not solid sometimes. It's always different. And
what is
the pain?
I was asking if there's pain. Okay, so gut constipation. Elongated colon S-curve above the sigmoid, okay. Stools never the same size or consistency. Ileocecal valve area pain. Pressure on the right side of gut slightly swollen. Pressure including pelvis area, possible ascites. Did somebody find that on an ultrasound, or are you just assuming?
Yeah, I do ultrasounds every 6 months because they have to check the cancer and all that stuff. Yeah, I've noticed that lately because I've had other, urinary leakage. And usually to me, that's a sign that I may have some ascites going on. And most of the time, it's caused by stress, I have found out. So, if you recall my situation with my mother, her health and everything, and now with the kidney cancer. So, but I still try to do my relaxation and focus on my health and all that, but the constipation, I drink tons of fluid more than food. I still have a problem with appetite. I think due to stress.
Appetite that is excessive compared, is that what you mean?
No, lack of appetite.
Okay.
Yeah, and my doctors always just say, oh, it's because of the cirrhosis. So, I'm reversing everything else, and I use the cannabis also. I'm just experimenting with that during the day to stimulate appetite. So, but I didn't understand because I was drinking lots of juices or blended drinks, really, and waiting for my juicer to come, and how I was still having constipation. I was, posting on our group, and I don't like having to use, smoothness all the time or anything.
Yeah, makes sense. So just right. To go back, constipation isn't strictly a gut function, right? So, yeah, you want to rule out blockages, not enough fiber, too little water and all that, but liver has a big role in constipation. Okay, so if you've got some liver problems, which you do with the cirrhosis, then that's going to make your bowels more sensitive. There are sedatives used to support that. If they work, they work. If they don't, you can try it for a few weeks. But Dong Quai, which is often considered a female reproductive herb, is actually used in Chinese medicine for dry constipation. So and it supposedly does some, you know, work with those liver detox pathways, and it also moistens the stool. It helps the bile flow.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something to look into.
Yeah, I try, you know, I support my liver, you know, now with ox bile, Tekka, and all the nutrients, milk, thistle.
Right. Have you tried
out? Yeah, I'm pretty good about it.
Delicacy and
have you tried what?
Dong Quai.
No, I haven't.
Well, it's worth a try then, certainly.
Okay.
The name
yeah, and with that S curve, I didn't know if using prokinetics, or but that's usually the small intestine, how to strengthen my, if I could fix that elongated colon. You know, we talked about this actually a year ago, but it was so bad that I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So I'll just keep working on that. But when I did the biome.
Abdominal massage is going to be important to keep things moving.
Yeah, I do that. I'm working on that more. And I was seeing a chiropractor. I had to cut that back, and he would try to open it, and very hard for him to do. And even when he did it, you know, he'd say, oh, you're going to have a good bowel movement. Well, I wouldn't.
Oh.
So, but, you know, not having the gallbladder, okay, what is that doing to ileocecal bowels? But real quick, sorry, I have the EGD done like 6 months ago. There was no indication, any problems with the duodenum.
Okay.
So just mild gastritis, which I do the slippery elm for. So I didn't know why my valve, because it will get swollen like a hard, you know, little tender there, and you can see that it's swollen. So I don't know why that, why I have such a problem with it, unless it's just from the constipation backing up that far.
Well, it certainly.
And I had a TAB.
And that she didn't show anything, or did? Is that where they saw the ascites?
The TAB, it showed fecal flu.
Urine.
But there was, because they had shown a small, they thought maybe a block in the small intestine. But I did some enemas, and then when they did the KUB, it didn't show blockage, but it did show fecal, you know, throughout the colon.
Okay. Well, I want to also, we want to look at diet. I know that you try to heat diet, but I saw a few things in here that I think can be cleaned up if you want to heal up your gut. Okay. So dairy products.
Yeah, I know those.
Right? So coffee and dairy, that's two. And then have not gone completely gluten-free. Anybody has any gut stuff, if you're not completely gluten-free and you're trying to find some, you know, needle in a haystack to try to fix it, it's not going to work. So I think I would start with a dedicated month of gluten-free, dairy-free, get off the coffee, find some good mushroom elixir that can give you some stamina, if that's what you do it for. But those things are, they're gut irritants. And so, you know, we could try a slippery elm, and we could try doing this, and we could do this test, or this herb, or that herb. But the fact of the matter is, if you keep hitting yourself over the head with a hammer, you're going to get a headache. And that's basically what you're doing when you're eating foods that disrupt gut function, and then expecting to have better gut function. Right, because the medications you've taken definitely would create a problem, the hydrocodone and other things. But I think that
you just say that we just talked about that.
Yeah. But I think you need to, I think you need to make a commitment to yourself to go clean. I mean, if I were you, I'd probably fast, you know.
I sometimes I feel like I'm doing that anyways. Like, I'll drink one of my green juices that I make in the morning, and I'm full all day and realize, 7 o'clock I haven't eaten anything else. Or maybe just snack on some granola. So my meals aren't always consistent.
Granola is probably not your best bet either, because granola is typically going to have oats and it's going to have raisins and who knows what else in there.
It's not like a real granola. It's an organic mixture with pumpkin seeds, cinnamon. Like, this is the low price they make. I forgot the brand name.
I've never seen a brand name granola that was.
Well, they're called raw roots. I just said granola because that's what they look like to me, but they're like a snack. It's called raw roots. So it's all lots of raw.
Yeah. Okay.
And then.
Yeah. So when are you drinking coffee? The coffee in the morning?
What's that?
When do you have the coffee?
Yeah, in the morning. I just like the flavor of coffee.
Okay. So here, I'm going to give you a flavor thing, right?
I just haven't yet.
Do you know Medicine Flower? They have those little flavor extracts.
I'm having a problem with my speaker.
Oh, Medicine Flower? Medicine Flower, they have these little flavor extracts, and one of them they have is coffee. And so you could make yourself some herbal tea or just some hot water and put that extract in it, put a couple of drops of stevia if you like it sweet, and now you've got something that tastes like coffee without all of the tannins and the caffeine and the things that are going to impact your gut.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that better.
Yeah. So, yeah, gluten maybe once a week, that's a lot. That's a lot. Gluten-free pizza, is that dairy? Is it some kind of,
That's like if I go out, my daughter introduced me to biology,
I would say you gotta clean up your diet. It's going to make a huge difference. Down the road.
Well, I bought all my healing kitchen tools, so I'm prepared for that. So.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think just go for it, right? Because otherwise you spend year after year doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, making progress. You know, you definitely have made huge progress. I'd like to see you get that other 15% going.
Yeah, me too.
I would definitely like to see that. I'd like to see that cirrhosis reversed.
That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, my speaker said something is really bad with it.
Your what?
My headset, something's wrong, so I'm having a hard time.
Hearing me.
Switch.
Yeah, so I think. But that's where I would go with you. I would look at maybe Dan Cloud. Whoa. Now there's a big echo. And the sugar. You're eating sugar 3 times a week. That's going to feed the bad microflora. Relaxation once a week. Yeah, I want that up to once a day. And then I'd look at your vitamin D levels and make sure you're getting enough of it. And I'd look at vitamin C and magnesium and try to go to bowel tolerance on those to get those bowels moving.
Okay.
When I look at
vitamin D because, my levels were going up. I kept checking them and I check in with you. So I'm just keeping rotating them.
Okay. Yeah. So keep an eye on them. Make sure you get them up in the 75 to 100 range. And then with the C, I just would start with the 1,000 three times a day and just keep increasing it.
Okay.
Unlike Lindsay before you, where she had loose stools, you got to be careful with it. You don't. You've got some, looking at the eubiome, you've got a few organisms that are lower than they should be, that are supposed to be like oxalobacter. So oxalobacter will help you to break down your oxalates.
Right.
None of these others I recognize per se. But
there's different things on there. I wasn't sure because that was the first time I've seen the report.
Yeah, I've not done much in the way of new biomes, but and in terms of the ones that are low, you know, making your own probiotic foods, that can be your best. Making fermented vegetables because you've got the stuff growing on there, and you're going to get a variety.
Mm-hmm.
But those, I don't know in particular where some of those come from. Okay, so most of the rest of this is okay.
Did you see the part with those different species?
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now, trying to understand what they're giving. They had 897 samples. Wow. Did they compare it to? Okay, yeah, and it's just showing you how they report them. So now I'm looking at... you have nothing that's associated with the diarrhea, so you're negative for E. coli, not E. coli, Escherichia shigella, Salmonella, Clostridia, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's very good. Normal levels of lactobacillus, normal bacterial diversity. Negative on, you know, Campylobacter and all these other things inversely associated, let's see. Normal on bifidobacter and lactobacillus. Negative on the ones that are associated with inflammatory bowel. Low on this one, not even familiar with it at all. Dialister inviscus. It's the only one there that would be associated with Crohn's disease, and all the rest of them are normal. You can look that one up. So see if you can find some information on it to see what that means or what that would imply. Ruminococcus albus is low as well. So there's two of them associated with inflammatory bowel disease that are a little bit low. And there's the one that's related to constipation is low. Methano, Brevibacter, Smith I. The thing with a lot of these is they're not bacterial strains that you can buy in a bottle. Right, and that's where own foods.
Probably from foods, just not.
You're not going to get them in a bottle. So it's really increasing the diversity of the probiotic foods you do. Don't just do fermented vegetables. Don't just do cabbage. Do a variety of different vegetables. Do some coconut kefir. And in fact, you can even ferment all kinds of things, sweet potatoes and lentils and all sorts of stuff. I haven't done it, but I know people who do. I know Steph, folks in her programs have come back to me and told me that they make like fermented sweet potatoes. So
I'm in
really
her,
variety.
In
yeah, so you know how to make all that stuff. Yeah. Just make sure you keep in that diversity. Yeah, these are just a lot of organisms I haven't really.
I thought it was pretty interesting. I asked Lena, should I share this? I thought I'd send it in to you because I don't know how many other people are going to be using this. So.
Yeah, it's not something I find especially clinically useful.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. Only nice not knowing I didn't have any CD for this stuff, but.
Yeah, but you can find that out on a direct doctor's data stool test, the one like I was recommending to Lindsay. You get a lot more information there because it also gives authors of inflammation and markers of, you know, how are your short-chain fatty acids doing and all that.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is covered by insurance. So So if you go to their website, if anybody wants to do it, you fill out a little form and they run your insurance and it's covered. So while they're in this beta state or something.
Well, that's an interesting thing to do. I mean, I don't know that it's clinically relevant, like I said, but if it's free and you can get it done, you know, be curious. And there may be something that shows up that you go, oh, yeah, that explains that. But most of those are not organisms that the majority of us actually know about or have been studied a lot.
Right.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So are you making a public commitment here to clean up the diet stuff?
How did I know you were going to say that? Yes, I'm making a public commitment. And I will post it on Shine.
Post it on Shine, post it on NEPT, post it wherever you are access
yeah.
to. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. Bye. All right. We still don't see Winona, so we'll do her on another call, I guess. I mean, can look at her thing. You know, it's hard
she
to do.
She was actually on. She,
really?
I don't know. Maybe she's on the webcast. She lives in Alaska. So just as soon as you brought on Janine, I saw her pop up, and I thought, well, maybe she's on webcast or something. And,
okay. Well, I can pull up her sheet and see what she, I looked at it earlier, but now they're all merging together in my brain. So, like, oh, which one of you had the Advil and which one of you had, I got them, but let's see. And then we can look at it. Is, Farah on the call?
I don't see her either, although she had indicated she was going to be, because I had, when I emailed her back,
so I'm just going to kind of go through highlights that would be good for others to hear, and if she's on, we can go through it. She's got an overweight 46-year-old female, 5'4", 199 pounds, an RN, two children. She had thyroid cancer 3 years ago. Half of her thyroid was removed. She's got joint pain in her neck and back. She has a hard time losing weight. Wants to lose approximately 30 to 40 pounds. She probably could use to lose more like 60 pounds, 70 pounds, or even 80 pounds, as 5'4", is what she really ought to be losing. Chief complaints, let's see, high stress, cancer, divorce, single parenting, autistic children, youngest child has gone to live with father, which is devastating. She had a severe amount of stress in her life. Diagnosed 5 years ago with thyroid cancer. Half of it's gone. She's been has low progesterone, and her weight has been increasing over the 5 years. She's on Armour, vitamin D, super gold liquid, resveratrol, vitamin E, and iodine. Her current doctor has recommended that she lose weight. Well, there you go. I think she already knows that. Pain in her knee and may need knee surgery. LDL cholesterol is high at 177. That's a lot. Plus HDL is 46, so her total... You want to see LDL like right around 100 or below. Thyroglobulin antibodies at 3.1. So she's definitely got some autoimmune, right? So what we want to be looking at for her first thing with an autoimmune is elimination diet, decreased stress, which means you're not going to decrease her external stress, but teaching her stress management stuff to do, cleaning up her diet, getting off of sugar. What habits does she have that currently positively influence? She's done a lot of research that's not necessarily influencing her health, and she's incorporating more nutrient-dense foods into her diet and enjoys exercise, although she's not currently exercising. So, I mean, her habits are sketchy at best, so really a lot of work here to do with her habits, looking at easy, quick ways that she can incorporate the good foods. And get her into some exercise, even if it's just 5 minutes here or there of little bursts, can be very helpful for somebody who's so busy, and it's also going to reduce some of the stress. She's required to be on call from 9 to 10 p.m. at night and often 3:30 to 5 o'clock a.m., sporadic, but it's a condition of employment. Rocky relationship with ex-spouse, youngest son is currently living, which creates a lot of stress and sadness. So she's got a lot of external stresses, but she also has sugar, salt, and crunchy cravings and gives in to her cravings.
right? So her stress level is a 9, and her sleep routine, or lack of one, 7. So she's not sleeping well. She's got tons of stress. Her nutrition is off. She's not exercising, and it doesn't sound like she's having much fun. So if we look at our 7 pillars, we don't know about her environment, and we don't know much about her attitude. So of the, that's at least 5 out of 7 are having trouble. So we really, really need to work on foundations with her. She's currently on hypothyroid. She's only on 500 milligrams a day of vitamin D. I would want to get a vitamin D test done and see what she needs, because the only way she's going to really heal her gut and her pain and support her thyroid is if her vitamin D levels are where they need to be. She's on iodine. Again, I don't know what kind of iodine she's on, how much she actually needs. Those are hard things to know without seeing her lab work, but there was some lab work that was submitted with this, so I'm going to open that up in a second. Let me just open that up right now. She had a handwritten page, then it also had lab work. Okay, we'll go back to that in a minute. What else? She eats toast and eggs for breakfast. Okay, so that's a starting point. I would do elimination diet with her. Sandwiches with lunch, and snacks on Cheetos, Fig Newtons, chips, hummus, and dark chocolate. Quite frankly, when I see a case like this, I think, wow, this is easy. This isn't like Lindsay, who's doing seemingly everything right and still having some issues. This is somebody who's seemingly doing almost everything wrong. I know the thing said she was researching healthier foods, but it doesn't look like she's actually doing anything about it. So this is a person where you'd sit down, you'd have a heart-to-heart talk with her and say, look, here's what's going to happen if we don't change this. You've already had cancer, and the diet you're eating is a cancer-causing diet. And what do you want? What do you want most? And I wouldn't be as harsh as I'm being right now with you, but what does she want most? What's her heart's desire? And share with her how changing those eating habits are going to get her there. Help her to do it in a way that's low stress, that is not going to take her, you know, hours and hours and hours in the kitchen, because she clearly doesn't have it, right? But reassure her that she can do this, and get her buy-in that it's worth it. If she feels like it is, obviously she's reached out. So she's looking for ways to handle this. So habits, she exercises 3 times a week, outdoors 3 times a week, time in the sun 2x a week, relaxation 3 times a week. So she's up there a little bit, meditation 3 times a week. So she's doing some meditations. I would be teaching her things she can do throughout the day, right? Like heart math, because you can do it throughout the day, little mini meditations. Just keep breathing. Just stop and breathe. That is such a relaxing thing to do. She doesn't consume fast food, so that's a good habit. She drinks tap water 4 times a week and purified water 3, so helping her with her water, making sure she's drinking enough water, because so many people don't, and they're dehydrated, and they can't detoxify because they're dehydrated. She never gets more than 8 hours of sleep. All right, so let's look at this, see if this is, okay, cancel that on it. Let me look at the, she had also submitted a little, health history that she filled out by hand. She already knows she has low progesterone from some of the labs. This is somebody who, you know, I would start with just looking at their lab work, their good lab work. I would start with getting some basic habits in place before jumping in and starting to do some major lab tests, because there's a lot going to be out of balance. Why bother? You know, just get her to do some of the major things, unless you need to do the lab in order to motivate her to make the changes. She's got some hemorrhoids. She has irregular periods, 28 to 38 days. The flow is only 3 days, and she skips a period every 4 months. They're not painful or symptomatic, not extreme, but the PMS is extreme. So there's clearly some hormonal things. See, what I would do is helping her to clean up her diet and then go back and do an inventory, do some of the digestive tests to see where those symptoms might lie. You might want to do a Dutch test on her to see what's going out of balance, because adrenal stuff can inhibit the thyroid and vice versa. Now here it says 5,000 daily, so that's better than 500. I think you might have typed it wrong, Winona. And iodine 12.5. Okay, good. She does 10 to 15,000 steps daily. That's not bad. Not bad at all. But the breakfast has got to, the food has got to shift. Eggs and sausage and toast for breakfast. Apple and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch. Salad, meat, chicken, beef, game for dinner. Chocolate powder. Looks like she's having also for breakfast. She's got a lot of sugar, a lot of packaged foods, popcorn and snacks. So diet, this is a easy one. Just, you gotta start with the diet. I wouldn't start with anything fancy. Get her to take some digestive enzymes, eat good food, get some probiotic foods in there. If she won't get the probiotic foods in there, then get her on some probiotics. Teach her the mechanisms for chewing her food. Her goal is to be at peak, so she's motivated, right? So we sit there and we talk to her about why she needs to be making these changes and start with one meal. Start with breakfast, clean up breakfast, right? Get her going on a good breakfast. Then go and clean up lunch. Then go and clean up dinner. I'm looking at her, quick look at her lab panel. She's got low progesterone. She's got high insulin at 11. They didn't flag it, but 11 as a fasting insulin is very high. I want it to be 3-5 at the most. So she's got a blood sugar problem, and you know, of course the junk food diet is feeding into that. He did a blood cortisol morning, but those don't mean much. Hemoglobin A1C, not bad at 5.3. I'd rather see it at 5, between 4.8 and 5. Let's see. It's got high platelets. Yeah, so autoimmune is a likelihood here. Yep. Okay, I think that's it. Pretty straightforward case of needing to get her on the better diet and using whatever it takes to motivate her and inspire her to do so. All right, so I'm going to go back. Let me find my way back. There's this Instant Health Seminar. Let's see. Any questions? Anybody have questions, comments? Put your hands up. Star 2. And you can also type in the chat. I'm going to look at the Q&A and see if anybody put anything there. Nobody did. Okay, we're going to go to chat, and we'll see what's here. Thank you, Paula, for putting in Living Libations. Oh God, you guys gave all the study between you and Lynn. Great, Paolo. Paolo gave the link to the dentistry in eight steps and gave a link to the product, the care products. And the tooth butter cups are a good one that's on there. Does my voice sound garbled, or is it Janine's voice that was sounding garbled? I'm doing the best I can. I'm on my laptop. I had to hide into my bedroom so they couldn't get it to work.
It's you. It gets choppy or staticky.
Huh. Weird.
But, you know, you'll have spaces where you're great and then spaces where it's like...
I think there's something going on with our internet because, you know, there's a lot of that crazy stuff going on. Okay, thank you. I'll try to stay closer to it and see if that's better. What was this? Hyperbiotics? Is that an oral probiotic, Lynn? Prodental?
Yeah, it was, they call it a mint because they have peppermint essential oil in it. But it's like what you were saying, you put it in your mouth and it melts and dissolves and spreads it around.
Right. It's super important, and we'll have to make sure. I know Doreen was trying to get Steph pinned down to a date to do that oral probiotic call.
Yeah, and I actually just sent Steph a message about it a day or two ago, too.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't see anything else. Yeah. Okay, so Paula said the question is, seems pretty impossible to do a 3-day hormone test when menses are irregular. Usually we don't do 3-day. We do 30-day. Is that what you meant, a 30-day? And yeah, it was, it is hard if somebody's cycle is irregular because you don't know which day to actually do it on, right? If you're trying to capture, and they usually like you to do the test, like the Dutch test, they want you to do it on day 19 of the cycle, but if your cycles are all over the map, you don't even know, and, you know, you can get completely different results if you're on, you know, towards the end of the cycle in the luteal phase versus the follicular phase, so definitely, gynecologists won't test your hormones, because I'm in menopause, well, you know, here's the thing about testing hormones, just for everybody to know. Going in just testing blood hormones doesn't really tell us a lot because they usually just measure estradiol and progesterone and the DHEA. They don't measure metabolites. And you can have perfectly fine numbers that they look in the good range. But if your ratios are wrong and you're high in the carcinogenic metabolites, like the 4-hydroxyestrone and the 16-hydroxyestrone, or your estriol is not double or combination of the two of estriol and estradiol, then that's not what they don't catch that in a normal test. So that's why because you have Dutch menstruating females, and if they have cycles that are irregular, like Paula said, it could be erratic and not come back well. Doorbell keeps ringing. Oops. What is cycle day 3? Usually they do it on day 2 or day 21 or 19. Much easier to catch than a day 19, right? Most women are going to have a day 3, right? They're not going to have such short cycles that it's too short. Day 19 is like, okay, so day 19 is supposed to be like 7 days or 8 days before the next period starts. Well, if you have longer cycle that month, that day 19 is going to be, it could be right in the middle. But if it's a day 3 test, it's pretty easy to do because pretty much everybody has a day 3. Cool. I don't see anything else, guys. My voice was cutting out, so I'm sorry. Sorry about the cues. I'm going to have my husband look at the computer to see why it keeps...
I'm just missing everything you're saying.
How about now? Is this better? I'm talking like right
now. Now I can hear you.
Screen.
Yep, now I can hear you.
Wow, bad. Okay, so thank you guys for being here. Appreciate it. I was saying in reference to Paulo, he showed a day 3. If a test requires to be done on day 3, it's a lot easier to be precise, even if there's an irregular cycle. But if it's on day 19, all bets are off if the cycles are erratic and irregular and elongated. So if there's any more questions, go ahead and ask. And if not, we'll take off. I was saying that I'm sorry about the computer issues.
Did you look in the Q&A? Because I know Paulo submitted a question in there.
I did look in the Q&A, and when I looked there, I refreshed it, and there was nothing there.
Yeah. No, he just did it. Yeah.
He just did it. Yeah. I did look at the Q&A, but I looked at it like 5 minutes ago. I have a potential client. Menses is day 9 to 14. but I was PMS 15 days prior. Wait. I'm not sure. Menses is day 9 to 14. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's a, do you mean ovulation is day 9 to 15? Has PMS 15 days prior, but if it's only a 14-day cycle, how do you have PMS 15 days prior? A couple of days before, she has high degree of embarrassing brain fog, and a day before is suicidal. So whenever you're looking at, you know, helping people with when they present with problems like that, you always have to look at the entire picture, right? We don't want to get into the mode of just looking at their reproductive system and saying, oh, well, you know, maybe the progesterone's off or this or that's the other thing off, right? I will say that high progesterone is sometimes leads to depression and suicidal tendencies. So that's a rare form of PMS, but it's, you know, it's possible. PMSD is what they call it. But I would say that you've just got to go through the whole process of what is she eating, how's her stress, how's she sleeping, what's her digestion like, is she chewing her food, what foods is she eating, and it's really cleaning up from the bottom up. Yeah, if there's particular things you can do to people to give them symptomatic relief,
you dropped off again.
Oh, now it's giving me a sad face.
Okay,
you guys still hear me? You still hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Who just called? Who just called? I just called them up. Now I'm in there.
You're in there four times, Jack.
Oh my God, this is.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. But
okay, I'm going to turn myself. Okay, how about now? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yep. No, I can't hear you. All of you. Okay.
How about now?
I can hear you.
But I'm echoing.
You're not.
All right, it's time to go, guys. The ghosts have inhabited my computer. Long story short on what I was saying to Paolo is start with the root. All right. Bye, everybody.
Do you have time for one more question?
If we can handle it without echoing.
Okay. So Dawn says, I'm having a hard time with bladder and kidney. My back where my kidneys are located hurts. I've been doing cranberry and sweetened, and D-mannose has been going on for several weeks.
Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of possibilities here. I would certainly look at, is there a kidney infection? So you want to test for that. Is there a bladder infection? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good. Now I'm down to one, so that's good. So I would look at that. So dipsticks, urine dipsticks, see if there's blood in the urine, protein in the urine, bacteria in the urine. You want to differentiate between, is it an actual infection with infectious organisms? Is it something like interstitial cystitis, where there's almost like a leaky bladder? If it keeps coming back, is oftentimes getting infected from the proximity to the colon, you know, because those bacteria get in the same area and they can repopulate each other. So I'd be looking at colon stuff. Is there some gut bacteria going on, or is there some colon stuff? The kinds of things I've used for natural healing of bladder infections has been hydrovitamin C, a product from Thorn called Urostatin. You can also use berberine. You can use cranberry. You can use D-mannose. There's a number of over-the-counter type things for bladder infection, but you always want to look at why does it keep happening? Why does it keep happening, right, and looking for some of that. But if you're having back pain, my concern would be kidney. You also want to feel out whether you have a kidney stone, not just kidney infection. Kidney infection is usually pretty easy to spot because it usually will have a high fever with back pain. Urinary frequency, yes. all the symptoms of a bladder infection, but with back pain and a fever. Does that help?
I would add, make sure you stay super hydrated. Apple cider vinegar helped me. Other things like parsley, and juniper berries.
Yeah, those are good things. Juniper berries are very good. I would also go to a chiropractor and get some muscle testing and manipulation. I remember feeling that one time, thinking, oh, my kidney, what the heck is going on? And went in and got an adjustment with somebody who did kinesiology muscle testing, and it went away immediately.
Right.
So if it's not accompanied by a high fever, then it's unlikely, not necessarily, not that it isn't for sure.
And if you don't have blood in your urine.
And if there's blood in the urine, and you're not going to see blood in the urine necessarily because it's a cult, so you'd want to get a urine dipstick. You can order those on Amazon for $10 for 100 of them. You can get them at a local pharmacy and, you know, just test it, right? Much cheaper than going in for a doctor's appointment, even with the copay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay?
All right. That's it.
Thank you, everybody. I'll open everybody's line so we can say goodbye. And again, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties, and now I don't know how I got on 4 times, but that was so weird. Okay, there we go. So I'm going to open up interactive so we can all speak. All guests can talk, and you'll probably hear me 4 times. So bye, everybody. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.